Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:05, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 26th. And by and large, stock markets were relatively positive in Europe today, but the notable examples were both the CAC and the DAX, so France and Germany. But the FTSE was able to squeeze out about 0.33%, and on the upside, both Spain and Italy were up in excess of 1%. Actually, Spain up about 1.5%. So then that gives us a good idea of not only what's happening in terms of the wider markets, but what's happening inside various indices. Because what we're actually seeing is that the markets that the stocks that have had the biggest rally over the last 10 weeks are now pulling back, whereas those that have had experienced the biggest drawdowns are rebounding. That's further evidence of the rotation that we've had. So if you actually look at the weekly chart, for example, Germany, it's had this reversionary rally and it's back above 10,000, whereas both Spain and Italy have done a little bit less well. Then you go and look at, for example, Wall Street. The S&P 500 has closed out again, just eking out a positive number. It was up 2 today, so it was about 1.13%. The Dow Jones also eked out a positive number, up 0.07%. And the Nasdaq was in negative territory. But if you look at the granularity of the Nasdaq, then it is the big companies that are pulling back. Apple has pulled back, and we'll know what their earnings are. And really, because their earnings are expected to be down, and because the iPhone is expected to have had its first quarterly sales decline since it was introduced, the big question, in fact, is really about share buybacks. And you might ask, when has that been any different? Because over the course of this 7-year bull market, what we've had has been just a surge in share buybacks, where companies have not been investing huge amounts of money in increasing their productive capital, but rather that they're just returning the money to shareholders in the form of buybacks and increasing dividends. Now, there are two ways of looking at that. One is that they look on the market as uncertain, that they would rather be doing buybacks rather than taking big bets. But also, it is that because technology is improving all the time and technological innovation is bringing down the cost of that technology, then it costs less and you can do a lot more, particularly when you're automating and you introduce robots instead of people. So there are certainly two ways of looking at it. But because just to go back to that first point, if you look at, for example, the Nasdaq, where Apple is still one of the largest companies in the world, and that has been pulling back. Google has pulled back. Microsoft has pulled back. Amazon was a little bit weaker today, but hasn't pulled back by very much just yet. And Facebook is still a little bit overbought relative to the MA. And those are very large constituents. And then you start looking at some of those that are really quite overextended on the downside relative to their trend means. And you come up with names like Western Digital and NXP and Micron Technology, and they really had accelerating declines, and now they're putting in positive numbers because they're unwinding those short-term overbought conditions. And if we want an example of just how easy it is to put in good numbers and still only revert to the mean, then all you have to do is look at the biotech index. That had pulled back very sharply. In fact, it's had a progression of higher reaction lows over the last year. And now it has completely unwound its overbought or its oversold condition relative to the MA. And this really is where the big questions tend to be asked. And it is just how much more is there? Is it going to be able to push through? And biotech companies were among the leading decliners on the Nasdaq in here today. So there is certainly some form of rotation going on where people are simply not willing to pay up for anything. That would really be the message right now. And anything that has had a very good run, it looks like people are starting to take some money off the table. But then anything that has had a very big decline and valuations have improved, and Liberty Global is another good example of that, then people are starting to think, well, you know, there's a bit more value to be found there. And that's contributing to this rangy environment that has been been present really for the last couple of weeks. The progression of high reaction lows that's been there since over the last 10 weeks is still in evidence, but this continues to look like an overall range-bound environment, and that the range that has been in evidence for much of the last year on the main indices is still there, and that then you look at that and say, well, what is it that's going to drive this market higher? Well, it's going to have to be the bigger names in the index, and they're not doing that right now. So this is still a risky environment, and I think a lot of it will depend on exactly what is going on in terms of buybacks, and Apple will be a big one today, so we can anticipate potentially some volatility in the market over the remainder of this week. Well, let's not get too focused on the equity markets and take a look at the bonds, and they were just about all in negative territory in here today, and particularly both gilts and bunds, both down in the region of a half of a full point. And you know, by and large, what we've seen is that yields are rallying in here, that the flight to quality or the flight to a safe haven there isn't nearly the demand for it right now, and also that economies are generally speaking not nearly as bad as was being made out in when those yields were going so very low, and that's particularly the case with the continued rebound in commodities. So oil, having been down yesterday, was up about $1 in here today, and WTI is around $44, and gold continues to steady in the region of about $12.40. It was up about $4.50 in here today. Silver was additionally firm. And considering just how much silver had rallied last week, then it has held on to the vast majority of that move. And that's really, really quite encouraging. Platinum and palladium are also looking reasonably firm in here, although they were both in slightly negative territory in here today. And then there's been an explosive breakout in aluminium. Tin is still really very steady. Nickel continues to hold around the 9,000 level, and it does look increasingly likely that it's going to go through the 10,000. But of course, the dollar was a little bit weaker in here today. The pound is back above $1.45 and is looking increasingly likely that it is now breaking out of what has been a 3-month range. And this is a depressed level for the pound. In fact, I don't think it's traded below 140 for any significant period of time in the last 30 years. So there was an awful lot of bad news priced into the pound, and I think some of that has now been priced out. And the euro was reasonably steady around, but still below 113. And I think that this continues to represent the upper side of the range for the euro. And the yen was a little bit weaker, and up to 111.40. So the Nikkei was a tad weaker in here today. The Hang Seng was a small bit stronger. The domestic market, or the mainland market in China, was also relatively quiet in here. But what was really setting the market alight were two things. One was that a number of the steel producers in India are starting to respond to this spike up in commodity prices. So that drove the Sensex and the Nifty to some of the best performers in the region today. And then the default of 1MDB in Malaysia sent that market lower, and it had a bit of an infection on the Indonesian market, which was also weaker in here today. So there is a lot to play for out here. But again, this is another example of indices that had previously been doing among the best are now starting to pull back, and those that, like India, that hadn't really been setting the world alight in terms of its performance are starting to do that bit better. And I think that continues to give us an example that people are unwilling to pay high valuations. They seem to be unwilling to take additional risks, but they are willing to participate provided there is at least a bargain, or some argument that there is a bargain on offer. And if that is what we're seeing evidence of in the wider market, then it's probably not a bad idea to be thinking about doing something similar with our own investments and refusing to pay up for something that has run ahead, and rather looking for bargains to participate in. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.